6 degrees. Your Lori DuBose as we welcome Fairhope City Councilman Jack Burrell back to join us as we have a Fairhope City Council meeting. Thanks, Jack. It's been a while.
Yeah, thank you, Lori. Hello, Fairhope.
Appreciate your time this morning. Fairhope City Council meets tonight in regular session at 6. I don't have the work session agenda in front of me. Anything on there that you want to mention?
Yeah, it seems like it's been quite a while since we met. We had one of those, you know, it happens two or three times a year where it's about 3 weeks between when we have those five Mondays in a month.
Right, the way the days
fall. The way the days go. Yeah, well, we have just of note, a more discussion of water and wastewater rates. And then we have a discussion of master equipment lease purchase. It's always an ongoing debate of whether it's best to lease or purchase some equipment. But that's it. And, you know, the ongoing water and wastewater rates, I can't give you a preview of that. I don't have any information. We'll find out what that's about. So tune in tonight to the streaming work session, and we'll all find out what's being proposed by the mayor and staff tonight that.
You're presuming an increase?
Well, I can't say. You know, we can't always say because, you know, garbage rates, we
just
reduced some recently. So I don't want to get the cart before the horse, as we mentioned earlier in the before we went on the air about another matter. But I just don't know, Lori, yet what it is that they want to discuss about that. And I got the mayor's book today, and for that item, I don't have any information. So
okay. Well, oftentimes when something is introduced at the work session, it's might be the first time council hears about it to
that's
start
exactly
a discussion.
Right. Well, that's the whole reason we have it on. You know, that is the purpose of the work session, so we can all hear about it, you know, at the same time. So if things go the way they usually are, you know, you could have some increases, you could have some decreases, maybe some go up, maybe some go down. I simply don't know yet. I want to say I do see something in the mayor's workbook about that now, but you know, I don't see what's highlighted as far as what's changing and what's not changing. That's something that I always ask staff is give me the old and put the new beside it so I can make a comparison.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, moving on to the agenda then, number 7, this authorizes deed restrictions to be attached to the land known as the Triangle property. And I'm trying to understand this. You're
yes.
going to deed it to Single Tax, who's then yeah. going to turn around and deed it back? What is
yeah,
the point
the reason
of this?
You do that is because if you just passed a set of ordinances on that land and you said the city council says that it must, you know, it's got to be a park and you can't put this in there, or you can't put that in there. Or
y'all have already
do
done that.
I don't think that we've deemed that a park yet. It's probably still under that old commercial zoning from when we bought it back in 2012, late 2012.
You've said that's what it was going to be numerous times.
We've always said it's going to be a park, but it's still under that old zoning.
Okay.
So what you know happens is if let's say we just change it to a park, well, nothing would prevent a future council from just simply changing the ordinance that established it apart. Not saying they would, but we want to something a little bit more ironclad to preserve that land in perpetuity. And so if we deed it to Single Tax and then they deed it back to us, by them deeding it back to us, they can impose restrictions on that land that have to be abided by future councils.
Like other land they've
like
given
other
the
land
city.
That
yeah.
they've deeded okay. to us. So we have tried to agree, and I believe we have agreed on the deed prohibitions with Single Tax. In other words, we don't want to go in there and say, and then start fighting with Single Tax about what we think should or should not go in there. So, you know, we've got the, you know, various committees of the city to also look at these deed restrictions. Single Tax has looked at them. The city has looked at them. And so we've agreed upon all these deed restrictions. And they're, you know, like number one, no commercial or industrial use of the property. That seems like a no-brainer. But then there are 13 other, so there's 14 total deed restrictions that we're placing on this. So when Single Tax deeds that back to the city of Fairhope, it will prevent future councils from raiding the land, let's say, in the future. It'll forever be parkland.
Where do you see a new civic center in 30 years? Where do you see expansion going for the city facilities
I see
near downtown
in
if you
less
take
than 30
all
years,
of that land and make it a park?
Well, I see, first of all, at the site of the K-1 Center, I do see a performing arts center there alongside Hatch that'll be occupying the older portions of the building. And then in probably 8 to 10 years, maybe less, but I'm going to say more reasonable 8 to 10 years, you will see a rebuilt civic center that'll be a small convention center at the current site. And what you'll see is you'll see it go vertical, so that we'll have more space. You'll see offices eliminated. You'll see the South Alabama space, which is 16,000 square feet, eliminated at some time in the future to make room for a larger floor space for a civic center. You'll see offices go vertical. You'll see parking go vertical, so that there'll be more parking there. So I think you see that still, you know, because that's, you know, that's near the epicenter of town. You'll still see the civic center downtown. So that's where I see that going.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, moving on down the agenda, I have highlighted number 9. This would execute a reciprocal agreement between the Baldwin County Revenue Commissioner's Office and the City of Fairhope for exchanging information related to building permits and related documents for 3 years.
Yeah, right now, since the passage of this, you may or may not have heard it. You have, Lori, but the SB, Senate Bill 107, which is requiring municipalities to pull their municipal and planning jurisdictions back to their city limits. I think that's supposed to come to a finalization in maybe summer of 2023. And in the meantime, you know, ours, we're trying to negotiate with the county to pull it back to within a mile and a half radius. But right now, we still have the county has permitting jurisdiction in some of our extraterritorial lands, while we issue things like building permits, and they issue land disturbance permits. For example, there's an ongoing situation, say down south of town, where we need to make sure that the right hand knows what the left hand is doing. So we need a cooperative agreement between the county and the city to understand what's been issued and what hasn't been issued, so that we can avoid any kind of sticky situations and make sure that everybody that's doing construction of any manner, clearing land, is abiding by both the county's laws and the city's law. So we just need to communicate with the county, and this will, now this agreement will bring us together in understanding what each party is doing.
That sounds like an excellent idea.
Yeah, it's an excellent idea.
I'm surprised it wasn't done in the past.
Well, and it, you know, because it had been established for so long, there really wasn't that much confusion about who was in charge for what type of permitting. But due to the SB 107, you know, it's dynamic right now. On such and such date, you know, municipal limits get pulled back to this, or permitting jurisdiction pulls back to this, but then certain permits do not get pulled to that line, and so it's really kind of muddied the water. And if we sign if we pass a resolution to work with the county, I think it'll benefit both the county and the city to understand what each other are doing, so that things don't slip through the cracks, and we make sure that everybody's abiding by not only the city, municipal laws, but the county laws.
Number 11, that the City Council hereby approve and amend rules and regulations for Fairhope Docks. Tell us about that.
Well, there's a lot of activity going on down there. We've been spending a lot of money down at the Fairhope Docks over the last several years.
When is it going to be ready? I've been on a waiting list about 2 years for a boat slip.
You know, I think it's still the whole COVID and then labor shortage and then supply shortage. And lately it's been waiting on electrical hookups down there. There's just a whole lot of construction going on. And as you know, if you tried to construct anything lately, things take, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 times as long as they should, whether you're waiting on labor or whether you're waiting on material. So it's moving along. I don't have a date for you today, Lori. I'd love to be able to give you one, but I can't give you an exact date of when the improvements will be completed, because there's still also another master plan. Well, what we're trying to do is just clean it up more. I think we're going to eliminate liveaboards down at the Fairhope Docks. And it's got to do with the parking situation down there where slip holders can park. And there's also even a provision in there, and I'm going to question this tonight, saying loopers can remain on their vessels but no longer than 48 hours, and that doesn't seem long enough. If somebody wants to come in on a Friday and leave on a Monday, then this doesn't even allow it.
Loopers are the term for folks that are taking tours, literally on their boats, going from marina to marina.
Yeah, this is the first I'm seeing this morning, but you also, and it's all, you know, who defines a looper? What if you just rode your boat over from Dog River in Mobile for the weekend? You're not technically a looper, so it just should say boaters. And I think that 48 hours is a little bit too restrictive as well. I think it should be 3-4, you know, maybe even a week.
So no liverboards other than transient or temporary.
Yeah,
if you
it
will.
Should be okay. Yeah, transient. So everybody should be transient, but I think that this is way too restrictive.
While we're on the topic of the boats and marinas, let's get off the council agenda and go to what's been in the news a lot, and that is the new restaurant, the Blind Tiger, that has now leased the Pier restaurant. There was quite an extensive article on AL.com over the weekend where the owner has very grand plans.
Yeah, they do, and there's an artist rendering of what that marina is going to look like, and I know that a lot of people have questions about that. A lot of people are excited about that, myself included, but let me peel back the onion a little bit and tell you a little bit more about that. First of all, the Blind Tiger is an excellent establishment. If you ever go to the Mississippi coast, I know in particular Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, I have some family that live there, and I've been over there numerous times, and I've gone to the Blind Tiger there, and it's just a great atmosphere right along their right along the bay. They have restaurants that run along the waterfront that resemble Fairhope there along our bluff. And they have been very, very successful in bringing tourism and patrons to the restaurant there. Like I said, very, very good food, very good vibe, very, you know, great atmosphere. And I have no doubt they'll bring the same thing to Fairhope.
It sounds like it.
But as far as, you know, the big grandiose plans, the city fathers, the mayor and the council will not allow the current footprint to be expanded beyond what exists today, meaning that restaurant, until the new owners of that lease enter into a new lease agreement with the city of Fairhope. We feel like the past lease is very much in favor of the leaseholder and not the city. And maybe that was necessary, you know, 30 years ago when that lease was first adopted. But you know, now I think that it's not giving the city enough of its due. You know, that's what a lot of people call Main Street Fairhope, and we've been pretty upfront with the owners that if you are going to do any expansion, we are going to enter into a new lease. So it'll be more beneficial to the city. Now, and we want them to be able to expand, but it'll also bring in more revenues, sales tax revenues, in addition to lease revenues to the city. So before all those plans can take place, there's going to have to be a new lease. We're going to hit the reset button on that.
Construction's already begun. I'm confused. Did he take over the lease from the Gambinos?
They can improve the existing footprint all they want. They just can't expand on that footprint. They can improve the footprint. They can go in there and make, you know, countertops out of gold if they want, but they can't go a square inch outside of that footprint unless we get a new lease.
Oh, really? It's been on TV about them expanding and
well,
building
further. Well, I mean, are you surprised that the media doesn't
access?
Have the whole story? you know, they're getting one side of the story, and we don't want to douse water on those flames of them wanting to do that, but we've been very clear, and, you know, if their strategy is to get the people built up to where they expected it, I can tell you the city's going to toe a very hard line on there's going to be a new lease if you want to expand that.
So they've taken over the lease from the Gambinos.
Correct.
For now.
Correct.
And if they change the footprint, then it's new lease time.
100%. Correct.
I believe that's the first I've heard of that.
Well,
with
I mean, and that's
the
been,
media coverage
and
we've
we
seen.
Have been, you know, towing that line for probably a year or two now. We've talked to many, many people that wanted to come in and take over that lease, and with every single one of them, it was the same story. We want a new lease. If you want to expand, you know, we have to honor the existing lease. If you want to stay in the same footprint, But you know, I, like you and I both read something about more concession stands and things like that. Well, that if that expands the footprint, then there'll have to be a new lease. If they stay within that restaurant, we have to see whether or not they can even sublet that. I'm not sure they can even have subleases to that. So
what about the marina? He's talking about the marina is still intact, kayak rentals and things like that.
Well, you know, we'll have to talk about that. That's expanding the footprint a pretty good bit. So, you know, I would expect a new lease before we allow all that.
Hmm. Okay. All right, let's move on to applying for a grant for a first responder safe room, estimated at $2,433,000. The mayor's told us about this before. When the department heads and first responders are gathered for a storm, they need a safe place.
Well, you know, I think that anytime you get offered 90 cents on the dollar, it's a really good idea to take it. Whether or not we actually need one, you know, is another matter. I think we need one at 10 cents on the dollar. If we had to pay 90 cents on the dollar, I would question whether or not we really need one, or if we're just trying to keep up with the Joneses. This is one of those things, you know, it's federal money that we're going to be able to receive. So I guess we need it. But we've been through a lot of major hurricanes, and we've always gotten by. You know, we may have to, you know.
Well, I know it's a $2.5 million project, right. But the city's matching fund, which means the city will be spending $270,000.
Yeah. Like I said, 10 cents on the dollar, I can be sold on that. But if it was much more than that, I would not necessarily be sold on that, because I think that our people get by just fine. You know, it's a competition among all these staffs. You know, once somebody gets a Taj Mahal, you know, to work out of during a storm, you know, the next one has to have the Taj Mahal to work out of during a storm. It's the same old story. And I have brought this up, but like I said, at $270,000,
that's a lot of money, Jack.
I know. I like I said,
y'all toss it around like it's pennies.
Well, that's your opinion. I don't take it lightly. I hear you. I think a lot of people feel like you do, and I do think that we toss around $270,000 and $400,000 like that we did at the last meeting, which I wasn't real happy with. And $500,000 like it's nothing. But yeah, I take it very seriously. Like I said, if we weren't getting this safe room for 10 cents on the dollar, I would just assume forego it, because I don't think it's that necessary. And you know, I feel like I'm probably getting on the bad side of a lot of employees saying they're keeping up with the Joneses, but hey, that's how I feel. I do. I think that we're spending a lot of money, whereas in decades past, you know, we made do. We got by. You have a hurricane every 15 years. Do you need to spend $250,000 on a safe room for an event that really you have a command center? How long is the command center really there? A week? We can find temporary command centers. And I've made this argument, Lori. I've made this argument in meetings.
It's kind of like saying, honey, look, I saved you $300 on this new dress I bought that I didn't need. Okay, we're speaking with Fairhope City Councilman Jack Burrell here at WABF. It is 848, 78 degrees. We're quickly running out of time. Let's talk about, we've got some asbestos at the K-1 Center that's got to be removed.
Well, I don't know that. I think they're going to do an inventory.
To check and see, okay.
Well, and no, I think that had been looked at before. I'm going to ask that question. I'm questioning why we're hiring someone to do that. It's not a lot of money, so maybe they're already piggybacking on other asbestos assessments. I know that there's been asbestos assessments there. The last I heard that it was stable and it was all encapsulated and it wasn't. Now, asbestos in and of itself is not a carcinogen until it gets disturbed and you start breathing the dust and all. And so there's a lot. Asbestos was used, you know, all over, but it doesn't mean that all of it was unsafe. It's a good fire retardant material. And so I think that we just need to find out before they go in there and disturb that with this construction of hatch there, that they want to make sure that it's. But I also want to know, can that be taken from the grant monies that we're receiving for that? If it's to go towards the construction of the hatch facilities, is the city paying for that? or is the Hatch Grant paying for that? So these are kind of things that come up the, on the agenda. You know, now that I'm not council president, I learn about more in the meetings than I do prior to, because as council president, you look at the agenda items and you probably have more knowledge about them than the rest of the council. So, and then I also sometimes get frustrated that I see these types of things on the agenda with them having never been brought before the council in a work session. And while it's seemingly a small thing, you know, there's a lot of questions.
$10,400, it might be small to a municipality, but it's still, you know,
it's worth, that dress
worth
again,
looking at.
It, yeah, but do we
there
need it?
Is.
Yeah. Have we done that before? I don't know. I'm going to ask that question.
Here's a resolution to execute a contract for professional landscape architectural services for the Triangle property with Thompson Engineering, $163,500. Is this a design of a design of landscape architecture or an actual implementation?
No, this would be the design services themselves. I know.
$163,000.
Another one I've seen for the first time too.
Are we both just in a mood, or does that seem?
No,
like
I think we're. I think that's the way it is. I've been in this mood now for going on a while. To be honest, you ask anybody that's been to a council meeting, I've kind of had a chip on my shoulder for quite a while with things like this, and they just come up, and I don't know why was you know why wasn't it on the last work session?
Well, this is a grant, so
so was the
so you're
yeah,
only
so
you're
was
only
the
spending.
So was the safe.
That's true.
Building.
Yeah, it's a grant where you will the city would spend approximately
like.
What $56,000.
That's $56,000 left.
$56,000. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 16, professional services for public engagement and master planning for the Triangle Park Capital Improvement Project with Thompson Engineering, $29,700. No grant funds would be used for public engagement and master planning. So this is going to be the meetings and the
yeah, this will be the public engagement,
okay.
Right?
All right.
You know, and that seems like a lot too, but, you know, by the time they bring, you know, people together and they have a half a dozen architects and engineers in this meeting, so you go through $30,000 really quick. It's amazing.
Yes. I see Roof Doctors of Alabama will be doing a roof for the Fairhope Rec Center and Pool Complex. Roof trim and soffit repair not to exceed $83,000. Oh, I missed number 20. New ballpark restrooms at Founders and Volanta Park.
You know, that's something that we got some bids. We rejected them, and... Another $374,000 for bathrooms.
Whoa.
And I would like to...
$374,000.
Yeah, $187,000 at one and $187,000. They're the exact same. I guess they're going to build the exact same type of bathrooms because it's $187,000 per location. And, you know, that is just... it has gotten, you know, absolutely... outrageous. I'd like to know. I don't remember what the prior bid was, but you know, some construction materials have gone down. If you look at the bids, though, they range from $374,000 to $718,000.
Goodness gracious! So y'all are obligated to pick the lowest if it meets the requirements.
Within,
is that right?
Yeah, within reason. You have a little bit of leeway if you have a local as opposed to somebody out of town, but. You know, it looks like they had six responsible bidders this time, and the lowest is the lowest by about $75,000.
Wow. Okay. And here, going back to the docks, number 24 is rejecting bids for the Fairhope Docks Marina electrical system and allowing the mayor to negotiate a contract with one responsive bid holder.
Yeah, so if you get one, by law, you can allow the mayor to go in and negotiate. You can reject it and allow her to go in there and negotiate that one. You know, maybe she'll be successful and maybe not. I don't really know if she'll be successful. I would hope that she would be successful in bringing that down. I had thought that when we hired a new electrician for the city that one of the reasons that we hired them was to do things just such as this. But I'm sure they came on board and got busy with a thousand other things. And now that they're hired, we're hiring someone else to do this. So I'll be asking questions about that.
Okay. Anything else briefly, as it's just about 8:55, on the agenda or off that you want to mention real quick?
You know, we're still hammering away at the budget. We're still hammering away at all the infrastructure projects that are going on around town. That
I haven't seen any notification for budget meetings.
Well, Robert, we've had, you know, the last several council meetings, we've spent, you know, good part of the work sessions.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Talking about the budget. And things are looking pretty good. You know, revenues remain high. We've tried to be, you know, very, very careful and very conservative with our revenue. I think everything starts with what your revenue projections are. And then the spending, I always say that, you know, 90% to 95% of the spending are fixed costs, you know, that you have to spend, you know, it's your labor costs and the cost of just running the city. And you got about 10% that you can look at and decide what you want to do with. And I think we're still trying to determine what we want to do with the remaining approximately 10% of the budget. But, you know, there's a lot, just like the safe room and just like a lot of things that we pay for now. I personally, and maybe I'm just old-fashioned, but I see just a lot of fluff in the budget and a lot of luxuries that I question. Do we really, really need that? Because I know that in the past I've asked department heads, do you really need this? And sometimes when pressed, they go, no, I didn't really need that. I just put that in there. And I just want to make sure.
It was
that
a wish list, yeah.
Yes, a wish list. I want to make sure that we're separating, you know, the wish list items from the must-haves.
Do you think the city is going to have to do any damage control after headlines erroneously came out over the weekend? Man shot at Fairhope boat launch. And, of course, it was a tragedy that someone was killed and there was an altercation, but it was at the end of County Road 1 on Pelican Point. Is that technically Fairhope?
It's not the city limits. That's in our jurisdiction, which is well beyond what really should be our jurisdiction. I don't know that that's a representative of the city or representative of the city of Fairhope. I don't think it's a fair representation. And you know, and you can get that anywhere. You could get it in any town or city in America. That can happen, and emotions run high. And you know, anytime somebody gets shot, it's usually a runaway emotion. It's a crime of passion, and it's very unfortunate. But I don't know that we're going to have to do a lot of damage control. You know, I don't think that it's due to the city of Fairhope's environment in any means.
Not at all. But the headlines made it appear like it happened right here in Fairhope.
Well, yeah, you know, anytime you know, Fairhope is such a known entity throughout the state and has such a great reputation. It's a headline grabber whenever you can throw the word Fairhope in there and put, you know, something like a shooting that you usually don't see here. It's attention grabbing is what their intent was by putting those two things together. And I don't see us having to go out and do a lot of damage control and defend ourselves. We regret anybody being injured or any loss of life, but I don't think that there's anything, you know, you could patrol every street, you know, 24/7 and you can still have that happen. Yeah, so yeah. Nothing that our police could have done, or even the county or the sheriff's department could have done to prevent something like that. I mean, right. Even you could have almost have a patrolman station there 24 hours a day, and you're still going to have, you know, something like that when things get heated and passionate like that. So it's very unfortunate. Unfortunate that we get caught up in some kind of headline like that. But I would defend, you know, the city. I would defend our police, and
I'd also
defend the sheriff's department.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jack. Can you stick around a little bit for Swap Shop?
No, I wish I could, Lori. I really
need you to come back because I want you to put on the MPO hat and talk
about
the bridge.
I'll tell you what, I'll stick around for about, you know, 5 to 10 minutes. And how about that?
That'd be good.
All right.
Okay. Thank you so much, Jack Burrell, Fairhope City Council. He'll stick around and we'll talk a little bit about